South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg announced the launch of an exploratory committee to run for president at the end of January. His appearance on national media outlets has cast a spotlight both on him and the city of South Bend. WBOI's Barb Anguiano sat down with Elizabeth Bennion, a political science professor at Indiana University's South Bend campus, to discuss Buttigieg's resume and his impact on Indiana politics.
Was there a moment for you where you were like, yes, this is going to turn into something?
Honestly, ever since Pete Buttigieg ran for mayor and people started looking at his resume, the talk around the town was always, oh, this person is eventually going to be in national politics. Now, this is actually not what he's said, that he has had his eye on the presidency the whole time, but he's certainly crafted a resume as if that or something very similar was the goal. And what's interesting about it is most people seem to say, well, that's good. At least we have him while we have him, and this is a good place to use as a launching pad. And so what's surprising perhaps to many people is how unsurprising this is to folks from Pete's hometown.
What happens next? I mean, everyone's excited. He released this book. What happens next?
Well, if we think about this process, the thing that is helpful is to think about when is the election that we're talking about. So we are talking ultimately about November 2020, the presidential race. So then we have to back it up for our state here in Indiana. That would be that previous May. But of course, other states have their caucuses and primaries starting very, very late January, early February, and all through that season. Candidates typically will run very actively and very hard for at least a full year before that.
What qualifications does he have as mayor? I think I keep seeing comments on social media. Why doesn't he run for representative? Why doesn't he run for, you know, a senator or a governor? Like, he needs more political experience.
Well, certainly the argument he has made is that he has more executive experience than the current president of the United States or even the vice president. And this is certainly true. Donald Trump, of course, had no political experience of any kind. And so in some ways, the rules have been rewritten and people with less experience may now get into the game. Mayor Pete has actually argued that this is more relevant than being a member of Congress, for example, where you're one of 535 people versus the buck stops here executive who has to keep the government running. And so it's an interesting case. It's a good talking point. And to some extent, it's true. A legislative function and executive function are quite different.
Do you have an example of
if you have an economic package passed, for example, you have to actually then implement that, make sure it's carried out. That's the same whether it's the federal level or the city of South Bend. Now, it's at a much smaller skill, but we're still talking about many millions of dollars. One of the things that Mayor Pete has been credited with is bringing in outstanding people, often young people like himself, from throughout the country to really get things done and generate new ideas and vision. A president certainly would be benefited from having strong cabinet members, but also strong advisors, from chief of staff to the entire White House staff, and then the cabinet members who, of course, had those executive agencies. And so putting together a winning team is something else that would be similar.
There are various groups of sort of mayors coming together and looking for, I guess, what he called high-tech solutions to a lot of problems. Is this sounding like a different kind of platform from what we're hearing from other candidates, or is this special in any way? Like, how is the experience in South Bend, I guess, compared to, you know, the other candidates making their plea at the same time?
Well, certainly one of the issues that you mentioned was technology and using technology to solve public policy problems. The mayor loves to talk about his smart sewers, right? That we have the smartest sewers in the country, and the way that you deal with water flow and runoff. And so those are the kinds of things that he's talking about when he talks about technology. Ultimately, it sometimes costs money up front, but it can save money and also be good for the environment and for infrastructure development moving forward. When we think about South Bend and what might make it different from other mayors, for example, who are throwing their hat in the ring and saying that they too are interested in becoming the first mayor to make that jump all the way to the presidency, South Bend is smaller than a city like New Orleans. It is smaller than other huge cities where we have well-known candidates who are running. But what makes it different is also that it's in the Midwest. And I think this is a point that the mayor has tried to make even before declaring that he was forming the exploratory committee in his essay on, you know, a report from flyover country, that one of the problems the Democrats have had is this problem of what do you do with these disaffected Midwestern voters in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Ohio, so in our region. And this is a mayor who comes from a middle-class background, and very comfortable, a middle-class background, middle-class neighborhood, middle America. He's made this point, and it's an interesting one as the party tries to think about, well, what can we do if we want to be seen not as out-of-touch elites, but instead as people who are focused on solving real problems that everyday people care about. Certainly, there is this perception that the GOP often uses when it talks about Democratic candidates as being completely out of touch with real America or middle America. And so that's some place where, despite his Harvard degree, Rhodes Scholar status, Mayor Pete is a hometown boy, and he has built his political career here in Indiana. And so that's something that does make him different than some of the big city mayors who may make similar points about their executive experience.
You know, are we talking hometown boy like South Bend hometown boy, or are we talking hometown boy like Indiana hometown boy?
It's interesting when we think about the distinction between South Bend as a blue city and Indiana as a red state. On the one hand, we see a mayor who has worked very well with Republican counterparts and leaders and economic development folks from the GOP, from the other side of the aisle, and community members, regardless of their partisanship. And so there are folks outside of South Bend here in the state of Indiana who are big fans of Mayor Buttigieg, even if they have served in elected positions under the GOP or the Republican Party label. On the other hand, he didn't win a statewide office. He lost badly when he ran the very first time as a first-time political candidate for treasurer. And Indiana tends to be a very conservative state. And so when we talk about a hometown boy, in large part we're talking about South Bend and the city and the South Bend area. But certainly it's also true that he comes from Indiana and that state policies interact with local policies, and you have to figure out ways to work together as sometimes ways to work around policy positions that folks hold that you may not agree with. And so he has that experience working with Republicans in a deep red state.
So he's been through, what, Governor Holcomb and Pence?
Yes. That's right. And so he has been mayor when Mike Pence was governor, as well as mayor under what many people saw as Pence's handpicked successor. One of the things that many people have noticed about Governor Holcomb is that he is very interested in evidence-based policymaking, and that's something that he and Mayor Buttigieg share. And so I think there is a great level of respect between the two men, because even though each has some strong political beliefs. They want to know, how can we make things work? What does the evidence say? And so that has generated a closer relationship there than there was with somebody like Mike Pence, who tended to be more driven by political ideology and a just very strong belief about what is right in his view, and then his desire to pursue that.
When you think of the last giant name to come out of Indiana, we've got Mike Pence, and now we've got Pete Buttigieg, who's every way his opposite, I guess you could say, making a run for office, for a high office, like president.
When Mike Pence was here, he, of course, signed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act into Indiana law, and it later had to be fixed, or they called it the fix, to make it more clear that it would not be used to discriminate actively against LGBT people in our community. That obviously reflects a very great difference between Pete Buttigieg and Mike Pence regarding LGBTQ politics and people and their rights. And we do see that Mike Pence has been a very strong supporter of conversion therapy in the past. Mike Pence has argued that gay people can use therapy and then change their sexual orientation to adjust to a happy, well-adjusted heterosexual lifestyle. That is a view that has become less and less popular and more denounced by professionals in the field of psychology and psychiatry. And some states, in fact, have made it illegal, saying that it does irreparable harm to the people who are in those therapy sessions. And so here we see, on the one hand, a politician who has made it very clear that he believes that homosexuality is a choice and that it is a negative choice with negative consequences for society. And on the other hand, we see a politician who comes out very late in life, relatively late in life. Buttigieg, of course, is not an old man, but he didn't come out until shortly before his reelection. And so this is somebody who is well aware of those perceptions by people like Mike Pence, and was reticent to admit to himself and to others that he was, in fact, gay. And so we do see a sharp contrast here. What Mayor Buttigieg has said about all of this is that he doesn't want to be seen simply as the first gay presidential candidate. Now, we see a lot of headlines that point this out, and he certainly is not shying away from discussing his marriage or his sexuality, but he doesn't want to be defined in that way. I think he'd be more comfortable with the term the first millennial president than he would the first gay president. But that's partially because he's part of this newer generation that says, hey, this is just part of who I am. It shouldn't be a detriment to my campaign, but it shouldn't be the selling point either. And so that's an interesting position to be in, where he recognizes why many members of the LGBTQ community are celebrating his candidacy as a breakthrough. And at the same time, he wants people to judge him based on his performance and based on his record, based on his stated policy positions, rather than simply to vote for or against him because of the fact that he's married to a man rather than a woman.
Are these two men, Buttigieg and Pence, representative of sectors of Indiana? Or, like, has Mike Pence become sort of like the image of what people expect Indiana to be? And is that going to be hard for Buttigieg to kind of crack?
Well, certainly I think this is something that people who are Democrats in Indiana hope that the mayor's candidacy will suggest that not only is there more than corn in Indiana, but not everybody is conservative. We have these very different political cultures, and it could be city by city, not just North versus South in the state of Indiana. But he certainly is a very different face than Mike Pence. The other thing that we see reflected, I think, is a generational difference. We see that young people, millennials and post-millennials, especially this Generation Z, these youngest folks who are just coming of age in the political system, are much more what we might call progressive on social issues. And that includes issues dealing with race, ethnicity, and sexuality. And we see that's true even within those young people who identify themselves as Republicans, that they tend to be more progressive or liberal on these particular issues, saying, oh yeah, well, I have friends who are gay. That doesn't really bother me. That's not the reason I identify as conservative or I identify as Republican. And so we see a generational divide, and I think that is a divide that the mayor will no doubt play to, not to create a war between older and younger generations, but to mobilize younger voters. He would need to do that in order to have any chance of capturing the primary. We anticipate that millennial and post-millennial voters will make up about a third of the Democratic primary. This is, of course, a growing group. They finally are just now surpassing the baby boomer generation in terms of their size. They're the hardest to mobilize group and the lowest voting group, at least likely to turn out at the polls. But if they can be mobilized, this is a group that might be looking for somebody different and also tends to be progressive on the issues that where the mayor is progressive. And young Republicans often are looking at, you know, good fiscal management, and that's where the mayor also makes strong claims and has built alliances across party lines.
Is there anything that we're not talking about?
One of the things I think that is very interesting is how crowded the field is of Democratic primary candidates. And we saw in 2016 what can happen when you have a very crowded field with a lot of well-known establishment Republicans campaigning against one another. You can have somebody you never expected, like Donald Trump, win the nomination. I remember watching George Stephanopoulos and others laugh, literally laugh on air when they were discussing, well, so do you think maybe Donald Trump could win the nomination? And people were laughing. And these were close political observers. And so one of the things that 2016 tells us is in a crowded field, anything can happen. And I think that's led to the field to be even more crowded because people think, well, then why not me? And certainly that's a point that Mayor Buttigieg is relying on, that there, you know, anything can happen. Why shouldn't I throw my hat in the ring? And so it will certainly be interesting to see what does happen moving forward.
Is there anything else that we did not cover that you think that is being missed?
Well, I think one of the things that the mayor has done that has been very helpful in South Bend has been the fact that he's been very, very visible at all the community functions and events. And he's recognized that symbolic politics are equally and sometimes more important than public policy making. And what I mean by that is he very early on identified the idea that people need to feel good about their community and excited about the community, and that the way that people feel about the city will have as much to do and as much impact on the future of the city as any policy that you could pass. And so developing this idea that South Bend has a bright future, even before you've put all your policy ideas into place, has been really critical to his success, attracting young entrepreneurs to put their money, their time, and their talent here in South Bend, getting folks to become social entrepreneurs who aren't just here to make money but are also giving back to the community. So we see businesses that partner with community agencies and give percentages of their profits to those agencies. That he has been a leader in that movement to really create a feeling that, hey, we have a future, right? And that this is a place where young entrepreneurs and young families should come to work, live, and play. And so that kind of recognition of the importance of public ethos, I think, is really critical. And it's something that can be hard to understand if you haven't lived through it, but is also something that a president has to do. So if we think about Ronald Reagan and the dawn of America and giving people this sense that there'd be a more positive future rather than appealing to directly or predominantly to fear, trying to inject that idea of positivity, of a bright future, was critical to Reagan's success. I think we see a similar thing here with Pete Buttigieg in the city of South Bend, and that may be something that the nation will need quite badly, whomever the Democratic and even the Republican candidates emerge to be, somebody who can say we can't just go back to make America great again, in terms of pointing to some point in history, undefined point in history that perhaps never existed at all, but we need to think about defining the future. And so I think that's something that is critical for folks to understand about the mayor's success here in South Bend and what he will likely offer to the country as a whole.